This Mass is offered for the repose of the soul of Pietro Mantonio Elario and Delfina Salinas. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is good that we are here for this last opportunity to have Mass here within this particular temple of God and all its beauty and grandeur. Today, here we have the feast of St. Cyril of Alexandria, this great defender of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Many say, but he was defending Christ. Nestorius was a great heretic who, though trying to reason through what it meant to have Mary and to put her in her proper role, saw her rather as the bearer of the Christ, the bearer of the Anointed One, separating the Blessed Lord Jesus' divinity from his humanity, saying that she was merely the mother of the man. St. Cyril of Alexandria reasoned with Nestorius, saying that it is she who is the mother of the whole of our Blessed Lord. And so she must be referred to, as the Church has always done before, the Theotokos, the mother of God himself. He who is both God and man, and seeing that the two are united by this hypostatic union, where the two are natures are unmixed, yet they're held together in the person of Christ through his great miracle of being incarnated through her womb. This was later confirmed upon the Church in 431. He stood true for what was right, and so received much persecution, but was vindicated in these latter days of the Council of Ephesus, and so was venerated as Doctor of the Church, and was declared as such by Pope Leo XIII. Our Gospel and our first reading focus on one particular reality, and that is, not as many would say, don't have strife among you, seek to get along with people, but quite the contrary. Prudence. Prudence is the virtue that is urged by the readings which we have here today, and something which would be good parting words for all of us, because what is prudence? Prudence is the charioteer of all the hinge virtues, the cardinal virtues, the virtues which even the pagans could see as being the most important. Prudence is that which orders a means to an end. And what does that mean? It means looking at the practical aspects of what you have to do in life and making sure that those things line up with where your goal is. Are the things that you are taking stock of today, are the things that you are enacting today, are the various habits that you are forming today and the tasks that lay before you, are they actually leading you to the place where you wish to go, to have the flourishing that you desire, to increase within the spiritual life and in this practical earthly life to the ends which ultimately leads to heaven? Prudence is the way forward. In the Gospel, our Lord has a very complicated teaching. Some people make it seem to be complicated. He says, do not give what is holy to dogs, or to throw pearls before swine, lest they trample you underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. Again, within that first reading, we have that teaching of Abraham and Lot realizing that their subservience are in disagreement with one another, saying, you're grazing in our area, we're grazing your area, now our flocks are being mixed, which they can't be. Abraham, being the elder, turns to the younger, his nephew, saying, take whatever place you want. In his humility, he offers Lot the opportunity to make a prudent decision. In this way, Abraham is acting like God. You see, God in our lives sets the entirety of our lives before us. God doesn't restrict you and I in being able to practice anything that we want. He has given the whole of your life within your possession to choose to do or to choose not to do, to choose this way or to choose that way, allowing you the full freedom to actually choose what is virtuous, so that you might actually pursue excellence and thereby receive a great reward. He does not leave you by yourselves, but allows his agent within you, as some of the great saints of the Church and great masterminds, the great intellectuals of even our former centuries, remind you and I that he has placed within ourselves his viceroy within us, meaning the one who speaks for him, that is in our conscience, to lead us and direct us toward choosing that which actually leads to flourishing, toward virtue. In fact, if you're baptized, he's put within you his greatest gift, and that is the Holy Spirit, to guide and direct all your actions. And so in this, we have a principle to be able to know what is right. Lot chooses what is wrong. He chooses to reason and to say, well, here are the greater lands that are there, so I will go there, not realizing that the greater lands also associate him with the greater evil-spirited people. Those of Sodom and Gomorrah, we would have that teaching tomorrow, would we have Mass, and see how the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah also reigns so strongly here in these latter ages, and so to the destruction of so many souls, especially, most especially those who approve of such acts, who should be calling them out for what they are. And because of that, not only does he lose his daughters, who he allows to be misused by those who are around, but also he loses his dearest possession, what should be the dearest possession of every man, that being his own wife, who longs for that which has gone before. prudent decision-making, seeing the end, recognizing those evils that are around, the actions that we have, and questioning, if I choose that place which goes close to the evil, will I be strong enough to stand against it? Had Lot foreseen and recognized his own weakness, he would have chosen the lesser lamb, and his soul would have been greatly blessed because of it. Abraham and his virtue indeed would have been able to resist the greater, and Lot probably indeed would have been blessed greater in his flocks by God for having a good and prudent decision. When you and I go forward, the Lord says, do not present your pearls before swine. What is he speaking about here? He is saying the words of truth. He's speaking about the things of virtue. He's speaking about the right teachings which you know well and have been proclaimed from our church for a great number of years here before you, and to take those nuggets of wisdom which you held onto for so long and to use them well, realizing that in a world so bent on destruction and celebrating those things which should not be celebrated but should be condemned roundly, when we speak about those things, oftentimes it will not be accepted by the world. And the question for you and I is this an instance in which my speaking will do greater good, or will it bring about a greater evil? Is this a moment where I must bear public witness in a grand way, or is this a moment where I should silently bear witness and seek those who I might actually be able to peel off from sin? Sometimes that means remaining all the more upon our knees in prayer and offering reparation to the most sacred heart of our blessed Lord Jesus, there in silence, trusting that he will send one who is a John the Baptist who will have greater effect than I. Pearls before swine. A saint which we celebrated a week ago, Saint Thomas More, realized within him, in his own self, that he had not the stuff of martyrdom, as he spoke to his own daughter there and said, don't worry, I'm not going to last long enough. Eventually, either they will relent and let me go, or I will just rot in prison. The stuff of martyrdom is not what this is made of, he said to his dear daughter Meg. And so time and time again, he refused to speak, knowing that any word which he said, if he were to speak and stand for the truth, would only cause his own summary execution. He did not wish to be executed. But by not speaking, his statement grew all the louder, because everybody in the entirety of the kingdom knew that he stood against this illicit relationship, this illicit marriage. And so his silence was the thing which did convert the people and helped others to see the righteousness of his cause, as he was so wrongly abused, merely because he would not speak. You and I can gain much from knowing this very same way, of the moments of when to speak and when not to speak, realizing that unless God calls us and gives us the grace, we don't have the stuff of martyrdom. But through patient endurance, God can grow that virtue in you, just as he did in the life of St. Thomas More, who ended so well, and why we herald him now in these times. There's much more in which we could speak and to share, but remember, why are we here? We're here for Christ, the same risen Lord who is always making himself present upon the sacrifice of the altar. And so, as he turned to St. Mary Magdalene there in that moment after his resurrection, what did he say to her? Reminding her that there was something greater that must be done, and he must be released to accomplish that very same act. Nolle me tangere, do not cling to me, is what he said, for there is something that I send you forth to do. Indeed, the Lord has something great in store for you and I, to not cling to the things of past or the things that are slipping through our fingertips, but rather to hold on to the task which our Lord has sent before you and I to accomplish it in the here and now, in the place where we are indeed. Let's ask our Lord for that grace, that whatever strengths, whatever virtues, whatever spiritual wisdoms have been bestowed upon us in these days, that we may cling to those things in his very person, which he has bestowed upon us, and to trust that even beyond this moment, which sometimes brings great sadness and confusion and doubt and questioning about what may come, to realize that our eyes are meant, as the author of Hebrews speaks in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, because we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us hold fast to our confession of faith, keeping our eyes fixed firmly upon Jesus Christ, he who is the author, the finisher, indeed, he says, the perfecter of our faith. Eyes fixed on Jesus. Here he presents himself to us at every sacrifice of the Mass. There, lifted up for our adoration, if we've made ourselves prepared for it, through a worthy confession, to receive that grace even to our person, and to be transformed into that which we eat. Our Lord presents to you and I the freedom of choice, the ability to prudently order our actions this day toward the goal which he has called us into himself, so the stances we take, as the scriptures say, may be ones that are worthwhile, ones that we are prepared for, ones where we see the most prudent action that the Lord has set before us, not reaching after things which are beyond us or not meant for us, but releasing those to the ones who the Lord has called, that it may be fully accomplished. We ask our Lord, through the intercession of his saints, to make those great stands here in our place and to be open to what he desires us to do now, that we might be prepared for what he has for us in the future. St. Cyril of Alexandria. Staunch defender of the reality of Christ and in His Blessed Mother, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.